Our next presenter is Nancy Simcox from the University of Washington's Department of Occupational and Environmental Health Sciences.
Thank you. Good morning. Okay. And I have no disclosures to disclose. let's see. So this study originated because the local SEIU Local Union 6 came to our department and asked us to look up. We're having more injuries and illnesses in the past few years due to increase in pace of work. They said they wanted an independent study, so could we please put together something? So we put together a collaborative working group with the union, and at the same time, Casa Latina, a day laborer organization, not-for-profit, also had been working on job theft issues, and so they, among janitors, they had some workers that were actually janitors who had those issues. So they had a special program, and they had contacts within the janitorial community to be able to reach out to. So we put together the working group to design the study and work together. So just to give you some background, janitors are low-wage, mostly immigrant workers. They comprise 4% of the U.S. working population, so it really affects a lot of jobs, 2.3 million jobs. They have significant workplace exposures, non-standard shift work, ergonomic hazards, high workload, as I just mentioned. Their increased risk for asthma, it's well documented in the literature based on chemical exposures, the types of chemicals they use, as well as associations with certain tasks that they do. They also have skin disorders, been reported in the literature from chemicals and cleaning agents. Not very much has been reported about the work pace and work intensity associated with injuries and illnesses for janitors. But the union's reports of speed up and layoffs in recent years was a big concern for them. The 16th highest injury rate of all occupations as well. And there's a high proportion of injury claims that are musculoskeletal, back injuries at 46%, shoulder injuries at 15%. And there was a poster session from Department of Labor, Washington, that also cited some state statistics on janitors' risks. So the big picture, as far as the goals of the study, were to assess the occupational exposures and health over time, as well as develop some kind of a workload scale that we could measure the change that janitors had over time and document if there are any health and safety implications associated with the changes in work intensity. The bigger picture. I'm going to present today because we just started working on some of the analysis looking at some of the respiratory concerns as well. And when we issued our report, our final report to the janitor to SEIU, they asked us if we could delve into this data a little bit more for the report. So we're going to talk about just the part today. I'm going to talk about the questions related to respiratory. I'll give you a little information about the conclusions based on the work intensity, but there is a big report that we've issued on that, and if you'd like that, you can contact me afterwards, and I can get you the copies of that final report. So the study design was cross-sectional. It was a convenient sample. We had three worker groups. We had janitors that were from SEIU, Local 6. We had also janitors that were non-union that Casa Latina helped us recruit. And we had security officers who were also at SEIU, Local 6. As we decided to add them as a control group. Some of the issues that we ran into at the time of the study began was the union, the janitors almost went on strike, and the security officers were in negotiations. So it kind of was a little tough at first for us to get started. But once all those things got resolved, we were able to start our study. We also had three different languages that we wanted to do. We actually had four, but we and Carlos Dominguez, are you here, Carlos? Yeah, okay, he did a roundtable yesterday at our health disparities section, and he provided more information on kind of how we did all the collection of data. But we did Vietnamese and we did English as well as Spanish for the three different languages. And the study was done peer interviewers. So we trained custodians to actually go and do the interviews using tablets, and I'll get into that now. We had an ODK software that was put on tablets where the workers could actually go wherever they found other workers and do our questionnaire on a tablet. That tablet information could then, if they were in a Wi-Fi area, be uploaded to a central server. And also the work that Carlos did a lot was definitely tracking every day how many we got and how many were received and how many did they send us. So it took a lot of coordination, but it actually, within I think 3 to 4 weeks, the union had collected over 200 surveys, and that was pretty fast. So we ended up collecting 78 non-union surveys from non-union janitors, 276 from union, and 76 security officers. And this gives you a description of just what the demographics of what we of our population. So the workers, 69 to 59% of the janitors were not comfortable speaking English, 3%. I want to just kind of show you that there's differences in all three groups. As well as smoking, we realized that most of the janitors did not smoke, and the security officers, 30% did. And then I thought it would be interesting to show you just the different countries, origin of countries that workers were from. So we had East Africa, Somalian, Ethiopian, Vietnam, as well as Mexican. And with our non-union janitors, they were mostly coming from Mexico. The workers, for the most part, range of working in the trade for janitors was from 4 to 8 years, and for unions, the security officers was 6. One thing we thought was interesting was the union janitors skipped on a regular basis their breaks more often than the non-union janitors, and I think it was the pace of work, trying to get the job done when we presented this to the union, that was kind of a curious finding, and it is the key thing, is trying to keep that. And also the stress of trying for the unions to keep the contracts with the different companies that they would have the contracts with. There was a 125-item questionnaire that covered the exposures ranging from musculoskeletal stressors, chemical exposure, psychosocial, as well as the work intensity. And then the outcomes we looked for were musculoskeletal pain, upper extremity disability, primary symptom, pulmonary symptoms, and stress. So the part that I'm going to present now is just kind of the exposure that we did with work for chemical exposures. And so we asked the question of how many hours per week did you spend doing certain tasks, and then we also asked how many days per week did you use certain cleaning products. And this is pulled from the literature because it's rich on as far as what kind of chemicals people are having pulmonary problems with. And I had been involved in a project at the University of Connecticut Health Center, and Jen Cavallari is in the audience, and she did a presentation yesterday as well on that project. And so we used some of the same questions from there, as well as it came from the European Community Respiratory Health Survey. So we took our data and we organized it by the tasks, percent of time that were done by chemically exposed versus not chemically exposed, and the janitors had a little bit less time of exposure of different tasks for janitors versus non-union janitors. So this just kind of gives you a review of how, if you compare the non-union and union, are they using similar chemicals? It's interesting that bleach is used more often with the non-union. Ammonia is used more often with the non-union. Acid toilet bowl cleaners are more so with the non-union. And disinfectants are kind of similar in use patterns. Respiratory illnesses. We looked at the asthma diagnosis. It doesn't really surprise us because the non-union, if you look at the non-union janitors, was very low. We had one case among the union, I think it was 24 that we had. And security officers was the highest. Now, that kind of did surprise us that they were much higher as far as respiratory illnesses. And then the asthma symptoms, and I'll explain the way we died. We used the BRFSS for the asthma symptom, the asthma diagnosis question. And for asthma symptoms, we looked at the, do you wake up at night with a cough, respiratory, tight chestness, and there's a question that we use from that respiratory survey. But what we noted here was that the asthma symptoms are similar between the union janitors and the security officers. and less so reported by the non-union. So then we wanted to cut our data and look and see, do janitors with chemical exposures have more asthma or self-reported asthma symptoms than janitors without chemical exposures? So in this one, here's the definitions, that's what I was looking for. So the asthma symptoms were woke up with cough or feeling tightness or shortness of breath, wheezing or whistling. And have you ever been told I told you that? So we took our data and said the exposed group, which is less than 15% of the time that those tasks, versus the exposed group, which is more than any time during the 4 days, more than 1 day a week. And so we kind of wanted to compare and see how, if they were using different chemicals, did we see a difference? And as far as the exposed, we were able to see that the bleach, again, came out high, the disinfectants were high among the union janitors, not so much with the ammonia or the sprays. And then we did the same thing with the asthma symptoms. And asthma symptoms, you would probably expect the asthma symptoms maybe to be going up more so with some of the different chemicals. Because the asthma question is really just, we didn't really tease out work relatedness. But asthma symptoms might be a better design for us to use to look at that. And so bleach came out and ammonia came out as more of chemicals that are higher for the union janitors. And the non-union janitors, again, it was just pretty much bleach and the acids where we saw that thing, and the disinfectants were very similar again. And sprays, I think, you know, sprays is kind of a vague name, and we actually had developed these little cards that had pictures because we learned from some of our previous work that, you know, you can use these words like, you know, do you use acids and toilet paper? We decided to just put pictures of these things so workers could see, oh yeah, I do use Lysol, or, you know, the typical kind of products in the workplace. So now I'm just going to switch over to the work intensity and health outcomes and give you just a brief description of what we saw. And this was the main focus of what the study was going to cover. And at the end, I put the asthma as a question because we decided to kind of just look at that data and see how did it fall. We kind of would think that if someone has asthma, as their work intensity increases, you may not see that kind of correlation as you might see with musculoskeletal pain or the upper disability factors. So this shows you the scale that we use to measure the work intensity. So we asked workers, and we did this over a three-year period, so there was a recall. They had to recall over the past 3 years. So if you were sitting versus running as fast as you can. So we asked them to grade their work intensity over the past 3 years. And it was interesting because we did see that the workers did increase over the three-year period. And the non-union were up 2.25%, but the union janitors were up 8%, and the securities were down 8%. So that was an interesting telling. And then the most important thing from the study that we found basically says that the higher that the workers rated their work intensity, when you put it all the workers together, the more injury, pain, and stress was reported on the job for these factors. And there was also a twofold increase in injury, disability, and pain among all the workers that had higher work intensity. And the union janitors, actually, the work intensity had increased the most over time and likely increases their adverse outcomes. So back to the asthma question of what did we find when we looked at the same kind of descriptive data for asthma and work intensity. So asthma symptoms, as workers are increasing from low, medium, high, you can see that there is an increase going up. However, when you look at the data, do you have asthma, diagnosis of asthma, it's not. And we kind of, our ideas, and it'd be good to have a discussion or people to talk with you about this, is that the workers are increasing their pace of work. They're probably not going to be able to keep up if you have respiratory distress. But somehow pain, you keep working through musculoskeletal pain. Okay. Non-union janitors, we saw a different relationship with the asthma symptoms. So limitations are the cross-sectional design. We had self-reported data on both exposures and outcomes, the recall, reporting bias, and uncertainty that goes with that, The use of physician diagnosis of asthma has limitations among recent immigrants who may not have access to health care or they don't see a doctor. This wasn't really an asthma study, but so there was limited questions, so we couldn't really delve into was it work-related. We didn't ask questions about medication. All these kinds of things can influence the results that we have. And our work intensity scale has not been validated. Conclusions, I'll let you see, but I'll just mention that the SEIU Local 6 is now taking the report that we issued and developing a campaign to figure out, you know, how can we make changes in the industry and the sector so that they can reduce the rates of pain and injury that they're seeing among the workers. And a special thank you to our study team, which was SEI Local 6, Casa Latina. We had two 2012 OHIP interns and the staff at the University of Washington. Thank you. Any questions? Okay.
Hi, Nancy. I think your question toward the end about the asthma symptoms versus asthma diagnosis is not only right on, but more appropriate. I think it's healthy workers' election on the asthma diagnosis. It's possible that they didn't get diagnosis because of access to care, but it's much more likely that the asthma symptoms are going to be useful to you in this kind of setting and are telling you what you need to act on.
Then. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Yep.
Your measure of self-work intensity was self-reported?
Yes, everything was self-reported. We didn't have access to any workplaces. Well, we have graduate students, and so we did a small pilot, and we're going to keep working on this with 20 of our University of Washington custodians, and they are working on, we have a graduate student working on analysis. And so she actually took some of our questions and administered it and then did a followed them for the day. And Carlos was involved in that too, and we're still working on that. So that would help validate maybe some of the work. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Yep.
Were there other work intensity scales that you modeled your version on?
Well, we looked in the literature, and there is a lot with the physical activity work going on, but it wasn't really getting at what we wanted. And at one point, we thought about putting, like, the heart monitors on people. There's different ways you can do that. But we kind of worked with the union, we had a couple different versions of what we were trying to do, but we sat down with the workers and did the many pilots, and this was the scale that made the most sense to people. So that's why we went with this scale.
Thank you.